What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action? Finding your community's true essence. In other words, finding what makes your community unique. When I think about my own community in Denton, Texas, and its true essence, I think about the sense of ownership all residents feel of our historic downtown, and how whether someone lives in downtown or on the opposite side of town, the downtown taps into their altruistic communal spirit. When you think about your community's true essence, you might think about the lifelong memories or friends you've made spending time in the neighborhood center. Your community's true essence reminds you why you love where you live, but more so, as you'll learn in this episode, it helps your community leaders create a brand for your community. Not a brand of Edison bulbs and bike lanes that dominate the imagery of many cities across the U.S., or another use of the phrase live, work, play. Instead, a brand that supports the residents who've made your community special and puts it on display for the rest of the world. To help us unpack this action, I've got Ryan Short on the podcast, who is the CEO of Civic Brand, a branding and marketing agency that focuses exclusively on civic projects, including boosting community engagement, creating city websites, and as we'll discuss in this episode, creating comprehensive brand identities for communities. In this episode, Ryan will share with you how you can find your community's true essence, including how to engage with your community to ensure the creation of your brand is a grassroots effort, how to ensure your brand actually aligns with what your community offers, and most important, how finding your community's true essence makes your city or town stronger. Enjoy. Ryan, what's good, man? How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How's life in Richardson?
It's good. Things are going good. Got a little warmer weather, so we're getting a little taste of spring, and it's going great.
That's right. And you know we're neighbors, right? I'm like right down the road from you in Denton, Texas.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
That's awesome.
Well, Ryan, man, so happy to have you on the podcast today. We got a great action to cover together. And that is finding your community's true essence. And this is a timely action as well, Ryan, because just a couple of weeks ago, we launched our Strongest Town contest, which Civic Brand is so graciously sponsoring. And listeners, if you're unfamiliar with this contest, it's an annual contest we do every year at Strongtowns, where readers can nominate their town as the strongest town. They'll go into a bracket. We'll get our readers voting on their financial resiliency. And a big component of this, which we're going to talk about today, is finding out what your community's true essence is, which, Ryan, I guess could be a fancy way of just figuring out the purpose of where you live and really caring about it. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, first of all, I'm super excited about the strongest town, you know, contest. That's probably the type of March Madness bracket that I can get into. but yeah, I mean, I think understanding just that, you know, who are we? What does our town offer? Why, you know, why should anybody care? You know, what is our connection? I mean, we all kind of choose to live and work in places for a lot of different reasons. And so, it's a super interesting thing to consider.
It is. And I know you're going to have some good insights to share with us. And listeners, if you're interested in nominating your town, we got applications open until March 10th, and I'll make sure to include a link in the post tomorrow. So, Ryan, to get us started, I'd love to start learning more about Civic Brand. Whenever you and your team were out and about exploring communities across the U.S., what were y'all noticing that inspired y'all to start Civic Brand?
Yeah. So our agency has been around for over 10 years. And kind of at the genesis and the beginning of that, you know, we were just focusing on, you know, branding, not just for cities, but, you know, all kinds of corporate clients. And, you know, our process though was very much focused on, you know, user experience and understanding, you know, a customer's journey and all the things that went into that. And so that kind of user and people focused process, you know, sort of kind of naturally led us into the city branding side of things. And the reason is, you know, one, we were doing a lot of work with architects and planning firms and kind of helping them with their branding. And we were doing branding around, you know, comprehensive planning projects. And so, you know, we naturally kind of just started to learn more about, you know, city planning and how some of that works. And then I was always, as a designer myself, I was always kind of just personally envious of architects and planners because, you know, I was over here creating, you know, logos and websites and things like that. And they're over here designing these things that are going to last forever.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so cool. And so as we kind of got a taste of that world and started to see that, we kind of saw that, you know, the public engagement piece of it was really just broken. The way that public engagement was happening in cities was kind of, it was just a flawed system that was either, you know, people were just kind of holding a public meeting to check that off of the box, you know, and say that they did public engagement and then kind of just move on. Or they weren't even doing that. And, you know, with us having that really user focused kind of branding and marketing approach, that stood out to us. And so we just saw an opportunity to kind of step in and do something to really address that. And so that whole, you know, citizen engagement is at the core of everything that we do at Civic Brand. And then we get to play a role in helping create cities. And so,
yes. You
know, we're no longer as jealous of the architects because we now feel that while we're still creating brands and marketing strategies, that we're actually helping to create something that's, you know, we're not just helping some company sell more product. We're actually helping build something that's really valuable.
That's right, man. So Ryan, you had this experience in the web development, you're designing logos. When it comes to branding communities, what does that actually look like? You know, say I'm here in Denton, Texas. Some of our city leaders reach out to you and say, hey, we want to be branded. What does it actually look like? What deliverables does Civic Brand provide for these cities and communities?
Yeah. I mean, I think so anytime we work with community, that's the first place we start because we got to get on the same page of what are we even talking about when we talk about a brand.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes to mind for people is logos and taglines. And that's the thing that we want to hit straight away is making sure that people understand that a brand is not just a logo. It's not a tagline. It's a much bigger thing than that. And kind of, you know, the two best ways that I know to kind of show people what we mean by a brand and what we're actually creating, that's not just this logo and a tagline, is, you know, when people think about the brands that they love, so like Apple computers, for example, I'm sitting here staring at my Apple computer while we record this. And when people talk about, you know, they love the Apple brand, they're never talking about the little Apple icon. You know, they're talking about the experience when they walk into the store. They're talking about how it feels when they open that box. They're talking about how easy it is to use. They're never talking about the logo.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the first example. You know, the logos and the files and fonts and all of those things, those are deliverables and they are things that we create because they, you know, they help communicate a certain message. But we like to try to tell communities too, the second piece that I was going to explain, it's not just a single brand, because in a community, unlike if you're branding a company, there are a lot of different stakeholders that all have completely different goals,
mm-hmm.
and completely different objectives. And sometimes their objectives are, you know, completely opposite of each other. You know, sometimes you have residents that really, you know, they don't want things to grow and change. And then you have others that are trying to drive economic development and get all these businesses to come here. And so in that example, our deliverable and what we try to create for communities is what we actually call a brand platform. And the best way I know to describe that is, you know, if you look at a company, for example, like Toyota, when Toyota is selling trucks, they're selling to an audience that needs them to be rugged and tough. But when they're selling minivans, they need to be, you know, family friendly and safe. And when they're selling a Prius, they need to be, you know, environmentally friendly and cool. And so they're completely different things that those groups need. But what they do is they try to find, well, what is that common thread through all of those that they all care about? And so in a brand like Toyota's example, they would probably say that like quality and dependability, regardless of which of those you're trying to find, you know, that's what their brand is all about and centered around. And so we try to find that for cities. We try to help cities figure that out. So if you have all those different groups, yes, they're going to have different goals and things they're looking for, but what's the common thread that they have that our community provides?
I love that, Ryan. And it reminds me of an article that City Lab recently put out where they're talking about city branding and, you know, the wrong way to do it, the opposite way that civic brand is doing it. Because what this article was saying was that a lot of cities are quick to jump to just what's trendy. You know, it's the hipster coffee shops, it's the Edison bulbs, it's the big pink wall where you can get that nice candid shot for your Instagram or for your Facebook profile picture. When you're sitting down with these community leaders, do you notice that they're quick to jump to some of these more trendy city elements? Does it take some digging to help them realize that, hey, just that cool, like in Denton, that cool town square is enough to find your community's essence? Like, how do you engage these community leaders to help them, you know, be rooted in their community and look around them and realize all the good stuff they already have, as opposed to, you know, dwelling on, oh, if only we had a couple more hipster coffee shops.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, I'm just so glad you're even asking that question, because that's something that we've been talking about a ton. And I'm familiar with the City Lab article that you talked about, and another article that came out, you know, a couple months prior that kind of coined the term airspace, talking about the aesthetic that is that what you just described, the Edison bulbs and the kind of the cool coffee shop that, you know, platforms like Airbnb are actually like places are losing their sense of identity. Mm-hmm. They're just conforming to, you know, the style and aesthetic that gets booked on Airbnb. And I think that's, you know, I think what's interesting about that is, you know, everybody's pretty much on the same page that, you know, when there's bad design, we don't like that to be homogenous, right? Like, we don't want every city to be this like ugly strip center, you know. But what if good design became homogenous and it was good and it was cool, but it was the same everywhere? And I guess that's better than bad design being everywhere. Yeah. But good design being everywhere, everything is still just homogenous and the same, and you lose what makes places great. And so, you know, I think it's super important to make sure that you're not just like, you know, a city isn't just updating their, you know, we do see a lot of cities that go through a branding process, and that's really all they're doing is they're not really getting any closer to finding out who they are and what makes them unique. They're just taking their logo that looks like 1990s and they're just making it look like 2019. And that's not really what we're trying to do and what we're trying to help our clients do. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing it. And we have to take that, you know, our process is designed to help them figure out first answer that question of who are they and what makes them unique, because, you know, we're not interior designers. We're not just going saying your city needs Edison bulbs and a kind of Pinterest restaurant and these types of things. Sometimes those are great things to have, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, cities having cool, trendy things that attract, you know, certain audiences and talent. That's really valuable, actually, but you want to make sure you do it in a way that is still unique to you and to your community.
It reminds me of the author Melody Warnick. She wrote the book, This Is Where You Belong. We had her on the podcast, maybe episode 5, but I think I say episode 5 for every time I reference a past podcast. But she was talking about when it comes to kind of understanding your community's true essence, you know, we're so quick to look at those sexy cities, you know, the San Franciscos, the New York, the Seattles, and try to replicate the elements that they have and bring them to our own communities. But what she encouraged folk to do to help them find their community's true essence is just to like learn and get good at doing what your community is good at. So say you're not super into seeing, you know, independent films.
if that's what your community is good at, that's what you need to start doing. Like go see the films, go start supporting what your community is already thriving at. Have you noticed that that's an attitude that community leaders need to have to be able to successfully find their community's true essence?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great, I definitely do. I think the only thing that we also see though on the flip side that I would just also advise against is we sometimes see communities feeling like they have to find just like one thing that they can hang their hat on, that they're the only city in the world that is this one thing. And that's great if you have that, but sometimes it gets real forced. You know, it's like, that's when you end up with like, you know, the only thing your city has to offer is that it's got like the largest ball of twine, or, you know, the mm-hmm. kind of gimmicky, you know, the largest rocking chair or something like that. You know, I don't think a city has to find one thing that it's the number one thing or has the biggest. You know, sometimes it can just be a, you know, just kind of a common approach to life, or, you know, a common, you know, we worked with a city, Park Rapids in Minnesota. And, you know, when we started talking to people there and hearing just story after story, whether we were talking to somebody who was in their early 20s or we were talking to a retiree, we started hearing these common stories of, you know, I came here as a kid in the summers and then, you know, we'd come back every year, or I grew up here, but then I went to the cities to make money. And then now I'm coming back here, and they're drawn to something that when we hear them tell their story, they can't really put their finger on what's drawn them back. But what's interesting is all those people start to have the same story. And so they're all describing kind of the same thing. They just don't really, you know, they know they're drawn here and they know that it's something. And that was kind of our job, to listen and hear those stories and help them figure out, well, that thing that you're drawn to, there's this bit of like nostalgia, and that's, you see that nostalgia in the architecture. You see that nostalgia in, you know, the way people talk, the way everything. And, you know, so it's about, and in that case, we're not trying to find, you know, what could they be the very best thing at? Cause there's a lot of places that are nostalgic. But it's just finding what you're really good at. Does that make sense?
That does, totally, Ryan. And it makes me think about my own hometown here in Denton, Texas. Like, yes, we have this beautiful courthouse and it's the focal point. You were talking about earlier how you were jealous of the architects so they get to build these big, lasting, beautiful projects. And that's what we have here in Denton. But then I think about why I truly love meeting there. Yes, it's the focal point, and I've talked to my neighbors, really, no matter where you live, whether it's downtown near the courthouse or you're on the other side near 288, everyone feels as if they have a sense of ownership of downtown Denton, because that's where, you know, it's where they go on their first dates. It's where they get the fun cocktails. It's where they're able to lounge on the lawn and watch a film. So you're exactly right. It's not just the structure. It's that feeling and that common theme that we get every time we visit it. That's wonderful, Ryan.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think for communities that are growing, like pretty much any, you know, any city in kind of the North Texas area where you're talking about Denton, like there's so much growth happening in this area that finding that and protecting that through a brand is so important, because, you know, a lot of these communities don't need to be branded to, you know, some do need to attract, you know, and grow, but some of them they're going to grow no matter what. And so having that essence defined is about making sure that it's like the right kind of growth and that it still maintains what made it great. Because I went to college at Denton, I went to the University of North Texas, and I love Denton, and Denton has grown a lot, but it's been able to maintain what makes Denton Denton, even though it's grown a lot, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's really important.
It is. And I'm sure listeners are nodding their head, thinking about their own town squares and their own neighborhood centers. I'm sure it's a similar sentiment. So Ryan, let's talk a little bit about, you know, why branding, why find your community's true essence, you know, even matters, you know, without digging into what civic brand is really about. Some people might think that branding is just about attracting new residents, you know, disregarding who's already there. Let's just grow. But what you just spoke about, Ryan, is that it's also about engaging current residents. Can you elaborate a bit about how we can find that happy medium if an area is expecting growth? Let's show that Denton, Grand Rapids, wherever it might be, is a desirable place, but also showing love to the people and the things and the places that made it wonderful to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think just straight away, any kind of community branding project, it has to look at both. It has to look at, you know, both potential residents, it has to look at tourists, but it can't ignore current residents, because, you know, current residents essentially are the city. They are the product, right, that you're marketing and selling. And so if they don't buy into it, if they aren't part of it, then it's just a big marketing campaign. It's not a true branding, you know, so it's absolutely both. I mean, I don't think you'll ever, whatever a community's goals are, and some are aggressive growth, some are just, you know, we want to have growth, but we want to stay who we are. Some are just, we want to stay like we are, but we want to attract young talent. You know, with the unemployment rates being as good as they are and as low as they are right now, that's a huge thing that we're seeing from communities, is they're trying to attract young talent. And you know, you have to focus on what you can't just focus on the job. People are looking for more out of where they live than just their job. And so you have to look at, well, what are you offering current residents? And you know, what are they looking for? What are they supporting? What are the things that are interesting to them? And if you do a good job of that, then it's usually a lot easier to attract more of them, or they and bring their friends, you know, that kind of approach.
Ryan, can you talk a little bit more about how city leaders could get the public involved in this process? You talked about, we don't want this just to be a marketing campaign. We don't just want to label our downtown live, work, play and have that be that. How can community leaders get the public involved throughout this process?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we're starting to see cities more and more, you know, want to make public engagement part of their process, right? So they're kind of feeling this mandate that they need to do it. But I think more are realizing that the public meeting system is kind of broken, right? You have kind of a very standard demographic that, first of all, it even attends public meetings. And sometimes that can be a very vocal minority. And so you see cities that are kind of doing that. And then what we're seeing, though, that I think is equally inefficient is our cities that are just chasing kind of what's the new technology, what's the new tool for some social media or interactive, you know, polling thing that I can do online. And there's nothing wrong with either of those things. I think the thing that city leaders need to do is, public engagement is about meeting people where they are. It's about going to them. And so you can't just hold a public meeting and say we did our job. You can't just put up a website and run a survey and say that you did your job. You probably have to do both of those, and you have to figure out where are the different groups within our community that we're trying to reach, which ones are harder to reach, and how can we specifically reach them. And so we work with communities on figuring out the public engagement plan of who do we need to talk to, who's underrepresented, and what are the ways that we can get out there. And sometimes that's, you know, little pop-up engagement shops. Sometimes that's going to city events and festivals and one-on-one going up to people and talking to people. It's talking to kids. It's talking to students. It's even sometimes we put on events for young children so that, you know, parents who are at home with young kids that can't attend public meetings, they can bring their kid to the library and the kids can go off in one room and learn about, you know, building a city and drawing roads. Wow. And while the parents can go to the other room and have a meeting. And we did one of those, and it's amazing. Like, you'd be surprised how many kids already, you know, as they're drawing, how would you make a street safer? They get the strong towns approach. It's like ingrained. I guess as we get older, we start thinking, let's make these roads wider and faster. But kids are like, oh, it should be slow and
that's right,
and safe, you know, because they're kids. They know that a busy street is dangerous and that a slower street is safer.
Trying to get my popsicle, man.
Right. They get it. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that we just stress to city leaders is, like, you have to go to the people. You have to go to where they are and you have to go on their terms. And if it's somebody that's busy and the best way to reach them is through digital platforms, that's great. But if it's somebody that wants to come and sit down and talk and have a conversation, you need to meet that person in that way.
Yeah.
So you just have to, you know, your strategy has to be as diverse as your community is.
Yeah. So Ryan, say city leaders aren't having this conversation. However, the public, maybe there's a handful of folk that really love their town's music scene. They really love all the great taco joints nearby. What can the public do to amplify their community's true essence? I mean, I think about here in Denton, we have a blog called We Denton Did It. It was just a couple of guys who loved all the little local spots and decided to start blogging about it. And then fast forward 5 years, has like 10,000 monthly readers. It can become a go-to place of cultural news for the city. So if city leaders aren't having this conversation, are there ways for the public to effectively amplify their community's true essence?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's both ways for people to amplify it and do it the right way. And then I think there's also ways for people to have the best intentions and make the right effort, but do it in a way that's less productive. Mm-hmm. And so on the productive ways, I think what you're talking about there, I mean, you know, that Denton blog, you know, they tapped into an essence. They tapped into a brand principle. So like in my Toyota example, they didn't focus on, you know, just the trucks piece. They focused on, you know, something very essential, like the quality dependability. So for Denton, you know, it sounds like they were very in tune and they got what made Denton great. And they really focused on that. I think when places get it wrong or individuals get it wrong, when they try to is when they try to make their community kind of like self-serving to, I don't know, to like a business or to one like very specific niche.
Got it.
You know, so I don't know if that makes sense, but
that does, because it goes back to what you said earlier about how people, you know, you look at the same town and people are going to like a bunch of people will like this one thing, then probably equal amount of people won't be down for it. And I talked about that earlier. It's not so much we're going to commit to, you know, this is the one thing that we're going to build our community around, but more so it's to that brand platform, having a suite of things that we're proud of.
That doesn't mean you can't get like, you know, promote like one very niche scene or, you know, thing within a community.
Yeah.
But a couple slides that we use a lot in our presentations is, you know, we ask people, you know, when we leave this meeting, what are we all going to go do? And whether you like it or not, you're going to be promoting your community in one way or another. Even if it's just you go into a restaurant, like the way you talk in public, the way, you know, are you a waiter? And are you nice to your customers? Are you not? How you market your business? You're essentially, everybody is marketing the community. And even if we all have the best intentions, and then we show this slide of this fishing pier with like thousands of people fishing and their lines are all getting crossed. And that's what it can sometimes feel like when there isn't kind of like this cohesive brand strategy. Yeah. Like you have all these people trying to do things and maybe we're all trying to say good things about our community, but we're all kind of off doing our own thing and nothing's really coordinated in any way. And that can just come off like a lot of noise and just not be very effective. And so we see that a lot though, where, you know, the CVB or the chamber is kind of off doing one thing. Economic development is off doing another thing. You have a resident group that's trying to market the city in a completely different way. And none of it's, you know, it doesn't always have to be 100% coordinated, but there needs to be some loose thread through everything that feels connected. Otherwise it's just a mess.
Yeah. That makes sense, Ryan. And that's a great shift into going back to civic brand. So we got a city. They want to find their community's true essence. They meet with civic brand a few times. How does civic brand amplify that essence? Where do y'all come into this whole picture?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always great if a community's done some of those things you just talked about and they kind of have, you know, some of those things going on and they've already kind of started to figure out who they are. But, you know, there is a lot of nuance to how you measure that effectively and how you do it at scale. you know, and then there's a lot of experience on how you take what you learn from that. Like when we're figuring out, okay, who are we? You know, there's a lot of expertise on how do you take that information and actually create and implement something from it. And that's what we do. So we focus on that, you know, helping them figure out who they are. But then once we figure that out, we help put together that cohesive strategy so that, you know, economic development and the chamber and an arts group and a sports group and all these different groups can kind of take different pieces of the brand, and then they can go off in their own directions and, you know, tailor it for their message. Just like in my Toyota example, yeah. They can take the Toyota brand and go sell trucks with it. They can take the Toyota brand and go sell minivans. We do the same thing. So we help them, give them the tools and kind of create toolkits and strategies and content and videos, but that they can take and use what works for them and their goals.
Awesome. Right.
And that comes through in, you know, videos, it comes through in just creating brand assets. You know, there's a lot of different deliverables and tools that we help communities create.
I love it. And you mentioned, was it Grand Forks, Minnesota earlier?
Arc Rapids, Minnesota.
Arc Rapids. Any other success stories that you can share with listeners?
One area that we're close to home here, the city of Lewisville, Texas. We've been working with them for a while now with their Old Town District. And so, you know, a lot of times what we're doing is not just a whole city, but just a district. Huh. And, you know, there's definitely this kind of, you know, across the country, there's kind of this return to Main Street, thing that's going on. And I think strong towns is a big part of that happening. But kind of like our conversation earlier, like it still has to be unique. It can't just be like a Main Street with, you know, you check all the boxes of a thing that needs. It needs something unique. And we've been working with Old Town Lewisville to kind of, you know, really help them. And they had a lot of great things already. But really tapping into some of their history and kind of things that had happened in the area and, you know, turning old grain silos into, you know, a new burger place.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so that's one that, you know, is close to home and that we're proud of. But yeah, the Park Rapids one was really exciting. There's another community up in Wapaka, Wisconsin. It's on the chain of lakes there in Wisconsin. And, you know, that's another one that's a, you know, an amazing community where people have kind of visited, you know, they visit the chain of lakes in the summers. And they're kind of going through trying to figure out, you know, how do we become more than just this chain of lakes place that people like to come in the summer, but really see everything they have to offer as a community, to live year round. And I mean, as we're going through our process and flying up there and discovering everything, I mean, it's really cool for us because we kind of fall in love with all these.
Yeah,
little
I bet.
But yeah, that's a great project that we're kind of like right in the middle of right now.
That's awesome, Ryan. Well, Ryan, man, I appreciate you so much for sharing your wisdom and experiences with us. To wrap up the podcast, and this is the question we end every episode with, how does this particular action, finding your community's true essence, make our cities and towns stronger?
Yeah, I mean, even just forgetting cities for a minute, I mean, I think in anything in life, just like knowing who you are and knowing who you aren't is just super important and makes you stronger. And so I think that obviously that applies to cities. And I think this approach to branding, where it's a broad brand platform, and it's not just that like one-off marketing campaign. It kind of reminds me a lot of just the Strong Towns approach in general, where, you know, you guys talk a lot about how incremental development versus, you know, just one big mega project, because it's smaller and it's more adaptable, it's stronger in the long run. Mm-hmm. I think of a brand in the same way, because a brand is all these little small interactions and things that happen. It's not just one big marketing campaign that can either succeed or fail, just like that development project can succeed or fail. A brand, when everybody buys into it, and, you know, it can't fail because it's, you know, it's like the incremental development approach that you guys talk about. I think it's absolutely essential to making our city stronger.
I love it, Ryan. It's its essence. It's not the buildings. It's its essence. That's a joy. Well, Ryan, man, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. If listeners want to connect with you, learn more about what's going down at Civic Brand, maybe use y'all services in the future, where can people find y'all online?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably the most active on Instagram. So if you want to just kind of see what we're up to, just at Civic Brand on Instagram. But our website and Facebook, you know, civicbrand.com and Facebook, probably the best places to get in touch with us. You know, and then for any communities that, you know, maybe aren't ready to do a full-on branding project, you know, that's a big, you know, half year, year-long project, we do offer workshops that, you know, are great for communities that are wanting to either, you know, they're either preparing to do a big branding project or they're wanting to do it themselves, but they could use a little, you know, guidance and kickstart in the right direction. You know, we'd love to connect and come in and do a workshop in your town. So, it's a great place to start.
Beautiful. Well, Ryan, man, thank you so much. We'll chat very soon.
Yeah, you bet. Have a good one.
You too, Ryan. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.